is the reason for the season. And that's what we repeat quite often. But most people, when they think of Christmas, they think of giving. Now, children think of getting. And there's nothing wrong with that, amen. It's a wonderful thing to give. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so whether one is a Christian or not, or believes the Christmas story, they do enjoy giving. We live in a time when there's so much argument and war on what is called Christmas today, that it just will take the joy out of you if you just do not ignore it and look toward its purpose, amen, and enjoy it with your families and with your children. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of year. So we're going to read the Christmas story and talk briefly about the Christmas gift, because I know you have things to do with your family. You may be wanting to go to the hospital. Now, I know that it's Christmas time because you have the aroma of burning plastic where credit cards have been run through those machines so many times that they're beginning to melt down, amen, because we just want to give. Now, the Bible is about God's gift. The most quoted verse, John 3:16, is about God's gift of his Son. In order for there to be a gift, obviously there has to be a giver. Amen. Now, the Old Testament, people complicate the Bible, and it's as deep as you ever want to go and ever will get in this life, and you won't ever reach the bottom. But what you need to understand is that the Old Testament is all about Jesus. Everything in there points toward him. And so we find in the Old Testament that the coming of Christ, that babe about which our brother sang, was prophesied in the Old Testament in a very detailed way. And after prophesying of him, he was promised. Hallelujah. We're going to read that promise. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Now, it's an interesting situation what was going on here in the experience of Isaiah and the people of Israel. And that's a study in itself. So what you need to understand about Scripture is that it can have a present application, but it can also have a prophetic implication. And that's exactly what this verse here says. Verse 6 says, for unto, who is this? Us. A child is born and a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be, I like this, no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even, I like this, forever. Yes. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I may promise you something, I may let you down. But the Scripture says here that it's not going to depend upon Isaiah, Ahaz, anyone else, it's going to depend on God himself to see this thing come to pass. And so whenever God promises us something like this, you can believe that it will happen without fail. And so that gift of his son was prophesied, it was promised, but hallelujah, then it was produced. Now let's go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And we will read that producing of the gift, the Christmas gift of God. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1 says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's never ended. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and with good reason. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Boy, I think about when God spoke to Abraham and he said, In thee shall all the world be blessed. Not just the Jew, but all the world. Hallelujah. For unto, now wait a minute, in the Old Testament they said, For unto us. But now he says, For unto you. Now it gets personal. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful story? The Christmas story. Now let's talk about the Christmas gift. The first thing that we are going to do whenever we think about giving a Christmas gift is this. A Christmas gift has to be planned. Now, you've got to understand, ladies, that us men, we don't always do these things like you do. But women, they don't just go out and buy something. We men, I know we go out the last moment to Walmart and we look at the shelves and we try to find something that we can just get and we grab it and we go. That's the way we men are. But ladies, they plan. Let's see here. I know so-and-so. What would they like? Amen. What can I get them for Christmas? And so we begin to plan because, you see, a gift should be appropriate for the person. Amen? I mean, you don't, there's a big, I saw on the news the other day where that they're talking about making easy bake ovens for boys. Hey, and some of the best cooks I ever known were men. I was a fireman for 30 years and those fellas could cook, but you know, that's not something you would normally do, is it, to a child, because you don't know if he's interested in cooking or not, and you might mess his head up, but whatever, you do whatever you want to about that. But you're not going to buy a boy a Barbie doll. Amen? And you're not normally going to buy a girl a football. It's just, that's not the way that it normally works. And so a gift has to be appropriate. It has to be the right gift for the right person in order for it to be a successful gift. Because you want to give them something that is designed to meet their need and to bring joy in their life. Amen. Mama gave me a shirt and tie. I get one every year. Every shirt you see me wear almost and every tie that you see me wear was given to me. Normally by my mother or by my sister that passed away. That's what they give me. Well, I guess that is a gift that is appropriate for me because I not only like them and enjoy them, but they are designed to serve a function and a purpose and a need in my life. Well, we need to understand that it's no different with God's gift of His Son. God has never been surprised by anything. Nothing's ever shocked Him. Nothing has ever simply occurred to God because God knows the beginning from the end, and so salvation and the gift of Jesus Christ, even though He was produced in Luke chapter 2 and in the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew also chapter 2, my friend, God planned it. God planned it. And He designed that gift to be appropriate and designed to meet every individual's need. Now, it doesn't matter if you're an American, a European, an African. Jesus is able and he's appropriate to every need that you have. Amen. And so God didn't say, well, I'm in trouble now because man that I've created has totally left me and he's wrapped up and absolutely controlled by the element of sin. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to do something else. No. God planned this thing a long time ago. You see, people ask, why did God create the devil? Have you ever been asked that? I have. Well, God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. And Lucifer was not a devil at the time of his creation. But he obviously had some element, as we do, of free will, and he made a choice in his position of privilege to go against God. And so it is with man. God didn't create man to sin. God did not create man sinful. He created him in his own image and his own likeness, amen. And God gave him a will just like God Almighty himself has, and the freedom to make his own choices. Now we have a government today that wants to make all the choices for us, amen. And so we look for somebody to blame in every situation. In the horrible shooting tragedy that we've had. I saw a t-shirt the other day. On it said, God, why did you allow this horrible shooting to take place? You've probably been asked something like that before. And then down below was the response of God. And he said, I'm not allowed in the schools. Now there's a message in that, is there not? And so I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want you to read about that planning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, then we'll go over to the book of Titus, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll go to the book of Titus chapter 1 also, and read a verse there. But I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. Paul, writing to this young preacher, says, be not thou, in verse 8, therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now look at the rest of this verse. Which was given, who? Us. Now when was it given? In Christ Jesus. Look, before the world began. Woo, go to Titus chapter 1, the next little book. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised when? Before the world began. Ooh, ain't it wonderful to know that God plans things. Amen. And I tell you, it's wonderful to know that he didn't just plan part of it, but he had the whole thing planned from beginning to end. Now, I'll tell you what that does for me. That causes me to sleep a whole lot better at night because I know that God's on the throne. He's working out his will and his purpose just like he said he would, and there's nothing that's going to stop it. Amen. Not Congress, not the Senate, not the President. No one. God will work and is working his perfect will. Why? Because he planned it. Hallelujah. Well, now a Christmas gift not only has to be planned, but a Christmas gift has to be purchased. Amen? somebody's got to pay for it. Now, I'm not going to give you my used stuff. Some people talk about, what's that word, a re-gifter. Somebody gives you a tie or something that you can't use, and so you don't take the tag off of it, but you keep the tag off of it so that you can just pass it on to somebody else because you didn't want it no how. Amen. Well, we don't normally do that. Amen. If we're going to get a gift for somebody, then we have to go out and buy it. We've got to purchase it. Amen. Amen. Now, you don't go to Walmart. Amen. Y'all do go to Walmart, don't you? Belts, any other store that you want to think of, amen. And you don't go in there, now Brother Gary doesn't want to understand, but you don't go in there and you say, now look, this is what I'm willing to pay for this item. I'm going to give you this. They'll say, no, there's a price that's attached to that item, and if you want that item, you've got to pay that price. And there's just no bargaining there. Now, if you go to the flea market, you go to a yard sale, then perhaps there's some bargaining involved. But you don't normally buy a Christmas gift there. You're going to go to some store because you want to buy some nice gift. Amen. But in order to get it, you've either got to be willing to pay the price immediately or ultimately. And that's where the credit card comes in. Amen. And so, there's a price attached, but also, in order to buy that gift, you've got to have a budget that is sufficient to afford it. Amen. Now, when I was an old, I'm old now, but when I was a young hippie, there was a song that went like this, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Well, some of you are laughing because, see, you remember that silly, stupid song. But anyway, the point I'm making is this. If I buy you a gift, it's going to have to be within my budget. Amen. Because, you see, I can only afford so much. Amen. Well, that's the way it is with salvation. Amen. In order for God to provide the Christmas gift of His Son, then somebody had to pay the price sufficient for that gift that was needed and suited by all mankind. Amen. Yes. And so this is the time of year that we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And He wasn't born this time of year, and we could talk about that, investigate. It's not important. Amen. We know that He was born, and that's sufficient for me. Amen. But He was born because He was one who could provide the price that was necessary for the gift of eternal life. Amen. You see, He had the budget to afford it. I love that psalm where He says, I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. And He said this, He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Amen. God doesn't have to worry about a check bouncing. God doesn't have to worry about the economy, because what God provided for us and gave us is not based upon our works. Not according to our works, He said. But it's according to His riches, the book of Ephesians says. Hallelujah. Boy, wouldn't all of us like to have a rich daddy? We were all gathered for Christmas. There were 7 of us kids, but we've lost 2. And I told my mom, I said, wouldn't you thought out of all the youngins you had, one of us would have been rich? But not a one of us are. Amen. Ain't your fault. I guess we were just sorry. I don't know. But God's Son, amen, He has the budget to afford that price tag that was required for the salvation of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was about to leave the church at Ephesus in the book of Acts chapter 28. He said, I know that after my departure, ravenous wolves are going to come in here and make a prey of you. Then he said this, he said in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Ooh, there we see the price tag. And we see His sufficiency to meet our need. Peter said this, he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then he said this, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Hallelujah. Ain't it wonderful to know that God planned a gift for us? And then God purchased that gift for us, amen, with the blood of His own Son. And you know, what breaks my heart is to see what's happening to our nation. How that we've forgotten God and His goodness. And my friend, we have been a great nation because we've had a great God, but we're turning our back on Him. And we are trampling under our foot the blood of His dear Son that was given to purchase for you and I the greatest Christmas gift that could ever be received. It's interesting here that the Bible says, and gave a sign to the shepherds, that you'd find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes. You ever look that up? Of course, a manger was a feed trough. And that's where they put him. But the word swaddling literally means a strip of cloth. And they wrapped the baby. Well, do you know that that's the same thing that they did for someone who died? Huh? Whenever Jesus called Lazarus out of that tomb, they said, loose him. Why? He was wrapped up, my friend, like a mummy. Jesus was, and they put that napkin over his face. Ooh. Amen. Amen. Well, they said, well, the disciples stole the body. Well, we know that's not so. Whenever Peter and John went in there, guess what they saw? They saw that napkin, and they said it was folded. Now, son, if you steal anything, there's one thing you're definitely in. You're in a hurry to get in and to get yourself out of there. Isn't that right? But they said they went in there and there was that napkin and it was neatly folded. And what that means is simply this. Wherever this body went, or if anybody did take it, they weren't in a hurry because they took the time to fold that napkin. Ooh. Amen. Son, and what that tells us is this baby was born for a purpose, and that was to die. He was wrapped in his birth and he was wrapped in his death. Hallelujah. He planned it. He purchased it. Then if you're going to buy a Christmas gift, you not only plan it, you not only purchase it, but you prepare it. Now us men, we'll go up with it in our hands and say, here, that's what I got you for Christmas. And throw it out there. But women do this. Boy, it's got to be pretty. They got to wrap it. Can't just go up and give it to you, Patrick. They got to wrap it and make it look pretty. And that bow's got to be just in the right spot. I got my brothers and sisters the same thing this year. Just wrapped it up in paper. There wasn't no bow or anything. And I handed it out to them. I said, now, if you don't like it, you can trade with the others. If they got something that you like, you can trade with them. You know, it was just plain looking. That's what us men do, amen. But women, they got to prepare it so pretty. It's not just sufficient that it's a good gift, but it's got to be pretty. Amen. And so that gift has got to be prepared. Glory to God. With that beautiful paper and bows and all kind of things like that. It has to be packaged just right. I'll never forget when I worked in a grocery store years ago. It was this time of year, Christmas. And at this time of year, kumquats come in, as Brother Larry knows. And he said, I want to show you something. And he was smart. He'd managed stores a long time. And he took a package and he put it full of kumquats. Wrapped it in cellophane and put it right there on the produce shelf. Then he took one and he put leaves in there with it. Green leaves. And man, it looked pretty. But there weren't near as many kumquats in it because it had leaves in it. He said, now I want you to see this. And this is not derogatory about you women. This is just the way y'all like things. He said, if you make it pretty to a lady, he said, they'll buy it. Well, me, I said, I want you to know them with the pretty leaves in it went first. I learned something from that. It makes a difference how something is packaged. The more attractive you make it, the more likely it is to be purchased. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh. Now listen. God had to do the same thing for His own Son. You know what we call it? What we read about right here. We call it the incarnation. Amen? Yes. John talks about him in John chapter 1, begins to describe, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not as some translations say, the Word was a God. The Word was God. No indefinite article there at all. But then in verse 14, he said this, and the Word, same capital W, was made flesh. What's he say? It was packaged. Amen. He received a body. He said, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Ooh. Son, God packaged that thing up. He packaged it up in this little baby that we just read about in the incarnation. Amen. Huh? In Hebrews chapter 10, around verse 5 there, he said, lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me, he said this, he said, sacrifice an offering thou wouldst not. Well, now, wait a minute. The Old Testament, that's all it is full of sacrifices and offerings. Yes, but they were simply pictures of the Savior that would come. They had no power to take away sin. They simply were demonstrations of faith of He who would come, of which they were a picture. And so what he's saying there, and that's a quote from the Psalms, he said that was simply a picture. It had no power and provided no relief from sin. But he said, listen now, but a body thou hast prepared me. Ooh, it was talked about in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and he quotes it there in Hebrews chapter 10. What he's saying there is that God packaged his son up. Now, I don't know what he looked like, and it's a good thing we don't, because we would have statues and idols of him built in the corners, and that's why we don't know what he looked like, amen. But it really doesn't matter what he looked like. The package he was in was sufficient, amen. Amen. And I want to tell you something. He's altogether lovely. He's attractive to me. One day he drew me to himself, amen. Ooh, God put him in that body in order that he might die for you and me. And I've never seen him, but I want to tell you that packaging was sufficient enough to draw every man, woman, boy, and girl to him. Hallelujah. Ooh. So after that Christmas gift is prepared and packaged, then it is presented. I gave my gifts to my brothers and sisters, and boy, they were all doing this and doing that. And I said, you know what? I may have to take one of them back home with me. You see, you don't give a gift with the intent of taking it back. See, that's why I don't worry about losing my salvation. I didn't steal it. I didn't buy it. It was given to me. And it wasn't given to me by mama or daddy. It wasn't given to me by the church. It was given to me by God Almighty Himself. It was a gift. Now, you really think that God would take a gift back that He'd given it to me? Well, I don't worry about it. Now, some people worry about it. God bless you. But I just don't worry about that, because it was presented to me. Ooh, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, and if I be lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. Paul said this in Galatians 6. He said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Son, we're still looking back to Calvary at what took place there whenever God presented His Son to the world. Whew. Nicodemus came. Sneaking by night, he said, we know you come from God. You couldn't do what you did, because no man can do what you do if he didn't come from God. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, I didn't come talk about that. I don't understand what you're talking about. How can a man be born after he's born one time? He can't go back into his mother's womb. He said, I ain't talking about that kind of birth. Amen. Huh? Hey. Yes. And that's the chapter where we come to verse 16. Verse 15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When Jesus hung on that cross, dear friend, they mocked him, did everything in the world, but he was presenting himself to the world as God's gift to this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God planned this thing so perfectly, amen, in order to give it to me and to give it to you. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8. He said, "He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Amen. What's that word? Give. And so packaged in that gift was not only, my friend, the gift of eternal life, but everything that pertains to life and godliness. I want to tell you something. I'm not aware of it, and you're not aware of it, but God has already met every need that you and I have had or shall have in Christ Jesus. That's what He said. Now, that don't mean bad things don't happen in this world. But son, it means we've got somebody that's with us that can handle what comes our way. And through it all, whether it hurts or whether it feels good, work out His perfect will and His purpose through us in that Christmas gift. So it has to be presented. Got to hurry. But it not only has to be presented, but it has to be possessed. That's the thing. A gift is no good if there's nobody to receive it. And if I give you a gift and you throw it on the floor, that's going to hurt my feelings. Amen? People don't do that. Even if it's something they don't like, they say, "Oh, it's just what I needed." Thank you so much. It has to be received. You don't throw it away. Now, my wife is a perfect example of that. I call her a flat earther. If there's a flat surface, something's got to be on it. It don't matter if it's the kitchen counter. It don't matter if it's a table in the living room or a nightstand in the bedroom. Something's got to be on that. There's got to be something there. Now, I'm perfect, so don't go up to her after church and ask her what my flaws are, because she'll probably tell you a story, so don't do that. But that's what she likes, and I want to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Everything that is given unto her, it has a sentimental value to her, and I don't care if it's just a little statue. And she won't throw it away. I'll say, "Why are you keeping that for? We need to just get rid of that. It's just cluttering up." "Well, so-and-so gave me that." Any of y'all husbands hear that? So-and-so. We've got a chair, an old chair on the back porch that was her mama's, and it's still there. I'd have burned it up a long time ago, but she won't get rid of it. It's just, we don't sit in it. Cats lay in it most of the time. But you see, she won't get rid of it. Why? Because it was given to her. And so a present has to be received. A gift has to be received. And that's the difference. Amen. John put it this way, chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." You see, that's the problem. Nothing wrong with the previous points that we've given to you about the Christmas gift. The problem is the receiving. People don't want it today. And why would they not want it? They do not believe in its glory and its beauty. Isn't that right? Amen? I want to tell you something. He's got a sentimental value to me. He saved me 40 years ago. And I still love Him. Have I not disappointed Him? Yes, I have. I ain't accomplished a whole lot in my life. But brother, I still love Him. I'm glad that He gave me the gift of eternal life based upon what His Son did for me and not of who I was or what I was able to do. Glory to God. Will you receive the gift of God's Son this morning? Now, one more point. A gift not only needs to be possessed, but when you realize the value of that gift, it ought to be passed on. Amen. I've got one of those clocks at the house. The spring's busted in it, and I've got to figure out how to fix it. But it was my grandmother's. Now, I don't know about your grandmother, but our grandmother made us take a nap every day on a pallet. You youngers don't know what a pallet is, but that's what we had to lay on. And you didn't make any racket while she was taking her nap. If you did, there was a price to pay. And every hour I would hear that clock go, ding, 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 dong, 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 dong. I remember the tune. That's how it went. That thing made music, you know. That thing's old. And you know what? She loved that clock. We've got a painting on our wall of these young girls crossing a creek, stepping on rocks. Some of you may have seen it. It was an old picture. I mean, the thing's about to rot and fall off the wall. It's old. But you know what? That was something she loved, that she put value in. And she passed it on to us. You want me to tell you why? Because it meant something to her. Amen. Now, if God's Son means something to us, then friend, we ought to be passing him on. Amen. And the tragedy that I see happening today is, we are blessed. We don't see many young people like this in church anymore. It's old gray-headed people like me. Amen. And I worry about what's going to happen to these churches that don't have any young people. We've stopped passing it on to the younger generation because we've taught them about monkey men and mud holes, and we've stopped telling them about Jesus. And we could stop a whole lot of what's going on in this world today if we just put God back in the school and begin teaching them little children like they did me. Amen! Yes, we could. Hey, let's pass it on. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Now, I want to ask you, do you like Christmas? Do you like Christmas? I don't like everything, but ain't it wonderful when you look at what God did for us? Because He is the reason for the season. And we follow that example, amen, by purchasing things, packaging them, and presenting them to other people. And if they have enough value, they'll be passed on. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul ended that chapter by saying this, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Ooh. Well, you know what? I think that about says it all, don't you? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, as long as we stand together, Brother Ricky, somebody come.